As it was announced last week, I've been on retreat all week, and there's a great gift in going on retreat, because as I sit there listening, it occurs to me that I really can appreciate how very tedious it is to listen to someone talk for half an hour. I mean, that's just painful, you know, it's a nightmare. But, you know, sometimes they have very nice things to say, and we can really expand on them. I was really thinking about this reading with the Book of Kings, and considering what's truly at stake here, and what's going on with Naaman the Syrian. We have this Naaman, and as the name suggests, he's not from Israel. Naaman the Syrian is a very powerful general for the most powerful empire of the time, and he has great influence because he's this powerful general, because he wins regularly. The emperor has great faith in him and great stock in him, and so he's very concerned for him. So when he gets leprosy and struggles with his leprosy, they literally scour the globe looking for a solution, and no one can help them. No one can make this leprosy go away. And then they hear about this dumpy little kingdom in a desert, worthless little area that no one wants to invade. It's kind of useful because it's on your way to Egypt, but actually, it's not of great value. Trust me, no farmer in the world ever thought, man, I really need to get out to Israel to get their soil. No one cares. And yet, there's promise that they can make him better. And so Naaman, with all of his finery and glory, goes to Israel. And he wishes to be made clean, and he gets sent to Elisha. He gets sent to this prophet, and Elisha tells him, tells him to go take a flying leap, actually, because, you know, into the Jordan. So he tells him to jump into the Jordan 7 times. It seems like this simple action. I mean, anyone can jump in and out of a river 7 times. You know, it's just a quick plunge, quick plunge, quick plunge, quick plunge. Quick plunge, quick plunge, quick plunge, quick plunge. And a quick plunge. But, you know, at that point, it seems so simple, it seems so obvious, and yet, this leprosy would keep him from everything. This leprosy that, you know, was a struggle for the people there, this leprosy that so many saw as an isolation. You know, we quarantine and isolate off for disease these days, but that's because we know about bacteria and virus and infection, but realize that very often lepers were isolated and quarantined, not because they were afraid of bacteria or viruses, because they don't know what those things are, but they actually saw it as God was mad at them, or that they were being punished by God, that they had committed such an egregious crime or sin or some awful thing, that God had so very much punished them that now they had this publicly manifest blemish, this leprosy, which they can't hide. I mean, tuberculosis, they can hide, you know, if they don't breathe and they don't cough on you, but leprosy is visible. Anyone can see it. And so there was this attachment to some kind of sin, some kind of hurting God, or, well, not literally hurting God, but insulting God or cursing God. And they find themselves in this separation. And Naaman, who has literally gone the world over trying to find some solution for this, finds it here in a simple task. And he's made clean. It says his flesh was that of a little child. As a little child, I had dry skin, needed moisturizer all the time, and was jaundiced. But, you know, some little child, some useful little child, he was made clean as leprosy. And he knows. He knows very clearly that this is where God is. And so Naaman the Syrian, with all his power, with all his ability, general of the most powerful empire the world knew at the time, goes to Elisha after he's made clean and says, what gift could I possibly give to this God? This one who I know is God, who definitely has to be God where all the others have failed and come up short. And I'm fascinated by this. I mean, Elisha says, I won't take your gift. Naaman keeps urging, you know, take this gift. What gift could I possibly give? But it really is this reinforcement, this very clear idea that no matter what it is that we might try and present, no matter what it is that we think we can offer in that gift in return for all the many things that we have, even to be made whole, there's nothing we can give that's going to match that. And so finally, Naaman has one last thing. He has one last focus, and this is the great focus for him now. He says, if I can't give any gift, if there's nothing proper that I could return to thank for what I have received, at least let me pray to him. Give me 2 mule loads of dirt. I don't know how much a mule load is. Obviously, several people offered at the 8 o'clock Mass that a mule load, of course, is exactly as much dirt as one mule could carry. Still not really sure what that is, but two mule loads of dirt. Why? Because at the time in the Book of Kings, gods were connected to their land. And if you left that land, you left those gods. But Naaman wanted to know that he could pray to God wherever he was, so he needed that land, that dirt, so that wherever he was, he could put out the dirt and stand and pray to God and have that connection back to God. And you can say, well, that sounds silly. Why would we walk around with dirt trying to connect back to these places? Why would we do those things? Well, you can say that as much as you like, but I actually challenge you when you go to the religious goods store and they try and sell you that crucifix with sand from the Holy Land and everyone gets really excited. I have salt from the Dead Sea. It's that same thing. It's that connection back to something that we know. It's that tangible tie back to something we're trying to relate to. It helps us bring that focus. And Naaman needs this dirt. If I come to your house and I ask for two mule loads of dirt, you'll know where I get it from. He needs that dirt to bring it, to focus him back, to bring him back to this point. Why? Because it's where he was made whole. I love this because once you look at the gospel, we have this incredible experience. We have 10 lepers, isolated, cut off, reminded by the people that they are somehow undesirable or unloved by God or somehow punished by God, and they don't even know what they've done. Because leprosy is not connected immediately to our sin. It's leprosy. It's a disease that we can study and learn about and all those fun things. And they come to the one who can make them whole. And whether or not they know it, it isn't just about being made clean of some disease. It isn't just about being made scrubbed clean so they can return to their families and their communities and their societies, but literally made whole and that they no longer have sin in their life either. But they're no longer separated from God. This greater community with a Father who wants to be close to us, with a Father who wants to love us, with a Father who wants to be a part of that community, and yet, with this leprosy, they are without. They are separated. They are removed. And they come to the one and only, who can return them to this, who can restore them, who can make them whole again. And they call out from a distance because they can't even come in. They can't step right up to Jesus. They're lepers. They're not allowed to do that. There are rules to this thing. And so they have to call out. They have to shout. They have to beg from a distance, please, 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 let us be whole. And Jesus gives them one simple directive. Just like Naaman the Syrian just got one simple directive, one simple thing. Just go plunge in the river 7 times. It seems simple enough. It's not terribly complicated. It's not a Herculean act here. Go present yourself to the priest. This is even more interesting when you realize that the people with leprosy, if they ever did manage to get clean, if they ever did manage to be restored from their leprosy, the very next task is to go to the priest to present yourself so that they can declare you clean so that you can re-enter society. And here he is, while they're still lepers, while they're still away, while they're still separated, he gives them that very simple directive. He says, go and present yourself to the priest. And on the way, following simple directives, following perfectly ordinary action, they realize what's happened. That they are made whole because they went to the one who could make them whole. And rejoicing, they go out. But they don't even stop to see that the gift that they have. They knew where to go to get what they needed, but suddenly, now that they've got it, through the simple action that didn't seem so hard, it's theirs and not a gift anymore. It's just the Samaritan who sees it as a gift. It's just the Samaritan who recognizes that it wasn't through anything that he did that he was made whole. It wasn't through anything that he was going for that he was made clean. It wasn't through his anything, but God's. So So he goes back to God to thank him. He goes back to Jesus, who he knows is the one who made him clean. And remember, he's a Samaritan. There's no priest for him to go present himself to, because the priest would not even look at the Samaritan. They wouldn't even care. So this Samaritan could have just changed his clothes, washed his face, and rejoined his society. He would have been scot-free. No one would have thought twice about it. But instead, he goes back and he knows that he wants to thank the one who made him whole. It's incredible, because when we stop and think about it in our own lives, we may not actually struggle with leprosy. No one can see our sin manifest on the side of our skin. But we're still separated from God. We still experience a separation where when we fail to live God's directives, when we come up short, when we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing, when we sin, we're not whole anymore. We're separated. We literally describe mortal sin as that which separates us from the life of Christ. It is this action of mortal sin that keeps us from God. And it's self-inflicted. No one else threw it on us. It's self-inflicted. We commit these sins. We separate ourselves from the community. We separate ourselves from God. We find ourselves outside and isolated and cast out. And what do we have to do? We have to go to God. We have to go to God and seek to be made whole again, to be restored. We do this in the sacraments. That's why we have confession. That's why we have Holy Communion. We have these sacraments so that we might be made whole, so that we might be complete. And it's in this that it seems so simple. Confession is not hard. I've been through confessions that lasted almost 3 minutes. I'd love to tell you I've never made anyone cry in confession, but that's not actually true. But I promise you, they were always good tears. Good tears, I promise. We have Holy Communion. Simple actions to receive Holy Communion. Be in a state of grace. Fast for an hour before receiving. Be prepared in a mindset that is open to it. These aren't terribly complicated. They seem like such simple actions that we can take for granted so very quickly, that there's a real danger for us that we could lose our gratitude, that we could lose that sense of gratefulness that the other 9 lepers had. Do you notice it's only the outsider, Naaman the Syrian, the Samaritan, it's them who haven't received this regularly, who aren't used to the naturalness by which we can be made whole, this beautiful, beautiful action by which we can be restored. They have the gratitude. I think there's a very strong reminder for us in both of these readings that even though they are simple actions, staying faithful to our daily prayers, going to confession, receiving Holy Communion, these are relatively simple things, we have to make sure we don't lose that gratitude. We want to make sure that we don't lose sight of the great gift that we have received, and we remain grateful for the beautiful and wonderful gift that is God. Because while we may not experience leprosy in the same way, we still want to be back in the community. We still want to be restored. We want to be whole. And in that wholeness, we are closest to God.